Welcome to the Ike Packers podcast.
Go Pack Go.
All right, preseason game one in sights.
Go Pack Go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a five-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. We had family night, and we're diving into what we saw. Packers fans, what does Jordan Love look like? What is Matt LaFleur doing? How's the defense? Who's available? Well, we touched on it all. Thank you for tuning in, and let's get into today's episode. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichstead. I'm your host, and Packers fans, thank you in. We have a fantastic show for you today. From the over 100 countries listening, we appreciate all of you. We are so happy that training camp is back, that the season is right around the corner. Regular football, big time games on Sunday. Jordan Love as QB1. We're going to touch on it all. I'm joined by my co-host, KJ. KJ, welcome to the show. How you doing?
What is going on, Packers fans? What is going on? Back from vacation, ready for the season to roll. And I can't wait, man. It's literally, we've been saying it for weeks and months now, you know, we're on the doorstep and it seemed so far away, but then it got 3 months away, then it got 2 months away. And we're like within pretty much like a month now. So it's exciting. You know, there's going to be an increasing amount of Packers content, Packers banter, and we're here to kind of just join in the fun and give you some good experiences, some good times and some fun talking points. And, conversation starters. So yeah, thanks for having me, Alex. I'm really excited to get into it.
Yep, Packers fans, definitely text the show to a friend. Let them know what's going to be going down this season. Let's just start with where we're at, KJ, just so Packers fans know how far we've come. Rashawn Gary, star linebacker, has been activated from his injury. Rashawn Gary suffered an ACL injury, but he is back. He's looking like he's ready to go for the whole season, at least at the start of it, Cage. What does this mean for the Packers' chances at making the playoffs? And I guess, you know, for Rashawn Gary specifically as a player.
Man, I think it gives him a huge boost, like moral boost, right? Bringing back your probably most talented player besides Jaire Alexander. Before he was hurt, obviously. And for me, I've kind of been acting and assuming that Rashawn Gary is like not going to have that great of an impact for us. And that's not because I don't think highly of Rashawn Gary. My hot take actually last year going into the season was Rashawn Gary could have a record-setting season. And he looked like he was on pace to do that and get a big deal before, obviously, he got injured. I'm shocked he's back. Honestly, like if you're activating him, like we got another month of runway. I don't want to see them activate him only to be like, yeah, we're going to not play him until week four. It's like, put him on the PUP or put him on the field. That's like my biggest takeaway. Yeah, man, I mean, like, imagine all the teams with like the best pass rushers in the NFL, right? You think about teams like the Chargers, like the 49ers, like the Cowboys. All those teams are very talented and like surely in the playoffs, even if they're, you know, they might be knocking on the door of some conference championships, stuff like that. But long story short is, you need a good pass rusher, and your team is significantly more effective when you have one. I've kind of been banking on Rashawn Gary being, like, what's it called, house money this year. You know, we have Lucas Van Ness. We added him in the draft. We have Preston Smith. You know, it's going to have to be a little sacks by committee, whether it's Kenny Clark stepping up. You know, I got something to say about that, whether it's Kingsley Enagbare. I didn't want to leave him out of the mix. But for me, man, you know, increasing the playoff chances. I'd be a player. If he can give us eight sacks, that'd be great. Like 8 to 10 sacks, that'd be phenomenal. I know he can do it, but to me, it says that the Packers think he's ready to go. You got another month. I don't think he's going to play in the preseason, specifically Rashawn Gary. I think Jordan Love should get as many reps as he can. Obviously, you don't want him to get hurt, but Rashawn Gary, just like put him on the field week one and let's go from there. What do you think, Alex?
I think, let's start him up week one. Luckily, his position is not, you know, cornerback. Eric Stokes, you know, in contrast, is a player where I'm not sure how he's going to bounce back because the cornerback position is just so complicated with the defense as a scheme. Rashawn Gary mostly getting after the quarterback, KJ, maybe a couple different blitz packages, but nothing crazy. He's been here for a while. I expect him to come back and, you know, put pressures on the board, right? Like, do the little things that help defenses
And Rashawn, in my opinion, he's one of the players that's like a good player on the team. So you're like, oh, he's back. Put him back in the lineup, right? You just like put him in when he's active. So I'm excited to see what he can do. Teams around the league appear to be looking to play their players these preseason games this year. By contrast, we saw the Denver's doing that, cage the Broncos, and more. So I don't know what Green Bay is going to do. I doubt we're going to see Rashawn Gary. But it's cool he's activated. Week one, we're Packers going to need him against the Bears. But seems like we have a man still in the worm tunnel over there.
Got a huge train.
but yeah, man, like, honestly, Packers-Bears, week one, that should be like a smash-mouth football game. You got to have all your guys ready to go. There's pride on the line. I mean, everything to play for. Let's go out and set the tone right. Aaron Rodgers probably not going to play in the preseason. It doesn't mean the Packers can't play their guys. It doesn't mean we can't do whatever we have to do to take advantage and win week one. Because the last 2 years, we've dropped week one, and we don't have that luxury anymore. What do you think about that?
No. Packers, I've seen, you know, a lot of highlights going around the field of family night, and I'm super fun about it. I think it's super exciting, but keep in mind, those are only the good highlights. The bad highlights, if you have to do a little bit of digging to find those, we've been doing it here at Ike Packers. There's some plays where you're seeing some off throws from Jordan Love. You're seeing some, you know, yep, stumbles on defense, you know, stuff on offensive line that you're not too happy with, bad snaps, you name it. And we'll see what this Packers team is made of that first game. Like, where do they stack up against a team like Chicago? It may look better than, you know, we think, but because Chicago's not such a stacked team, Cage. I saw a stat that, you know, Justin Fields' numbers to start his career in his first 25 games are worse across the board than Mitchell Trubisky, which was very, very eye-opening.
That's eye-opening, yeah. I saw another thing on Twitter. Some guy asked all the fans to vote on their favorite quarterbacks, or like who they think the best quarterbacks are, and Justin Fields checked in this list at number 8 ahead of Trevor Lawrence. So like that was like a huge discrepancy. Obviously this was a fan vote, but what's the takeaway, Packers fans, is that Bears fans are gassed up like never before. At least on the internet they are, right?
Just because on the hype.
No one is really showing up to the Soldier Field family experience, right? You know, you look at the Lambeau family night, you look at the Soldier Field family joke. You know, a tale of two cities, man, truly. But yep, but the Bears fans, this number 8 ranking, like, tells you how just hyped on their team they are. And we've seen on, like, Packers, you know, there's been some chatter, there's been some trash talk back and forth. But, oh, my gosh, the Packers just have to win this game. We can't let Chicago get those trash talking rights. Nothing is worse than when, because you know,
let's
the
play
Bears,
from ahead. Yep.
Even if the Bears win the division, right? Like, Packers fans, think back along the last, like, 10, 15 years. Maybe, like, one time the Bears had a division-winning caliber team. But even the years they won the division, I looked over there and I was like, that's a flawed team. Like, that should be us. That team isn't any good.
You know,
like,
the Rex Grossman Super Bowl run?
Of course, man. But, you know, they may have had some things bounce their way, but I think maybe, like, one time when they had, like, Khalil Mack and the Packers were just feeble that season, like, that they had, like, a better team than the Packers that year. But even in the little success they've had, I think a lot of it's been flawed. So we've got a rivalry, man. It's been lopsided over the past 30 years, but it doesn't mean it's not a rivalry. We got to keep this rivalry kind of like with the similar results, you know, wins, losses to Chicago.
And it's just going to be such a big week one, Packers fans. You know, training camp right now, it's exciting. We're going to keep you updated there. We'll get into some players later in the show. But where I want to cage focus is on this, you know, unique play that Jordan Love made during the Eagles game last season, in which he came in for Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur changed up the play call. He called a play that Jordan Love had, like, no experience playing. And I just want to, you know, talk about this a little bit because LaFleur saw something open in the game. You know, the Packers were down just one score against the Eagles at the time. And he said, do you trust me? Can I call this? In the headset, Matt LaFleur to Jordan Love. Jordan Love said, yeah, let's eat it. And the Packers then went on to have a 17-yard gain to Alan Lazard. They end up kicking a field goal, missing the onside. The game ends. But, Cage, a quarterback coach like Matt LaFleur, a head coach that can talk to his quarterback like that in Jordan Love, do you think that could ever really happen with Aaron Rodgers? Do you think that dialogue was going down? And how excited do you think that makes a coach like Matt LaFleur for week one, a big week one, having a quarterback kind of that he can have this real clear communication with?
It's huge, man. I mean, if I'm analyzing Matt LaFleur's circumstances right now, he's got a ton of pressure on him, in my opinion. Yet at the same time, he's probably looser than he's ever been, just because 12's out the building. You know, year four, you've been here a while now. You've gotten your feet underneath you. You've become familiar with things, staff, players, all that kind of stuff. And it's just kind of like a blank slate, right? Like, could be anything. Like think about the last time. Think about when you switched. I know this is a big thing for me. When I had like a laptop I used in college, and then I finally got like my first new laptop in the professional world, like just like the cleanliness of the desktop, you know, everything's so organized, like it's a blank slate and it feels great. And that's kind of how I view Matt LaFleur. I do think he's got pressure on him. I think he should have pressure on him. You know, I'm a little tougher on Matt LaFleur the most, only because I see that the Packers have underachieved for a while, man. You know, like regular season success is one thing, but we've not had success in the postseason for over a decade now. And, I mean, depending on who you ask, that's another conversation. But I view the Packers' astounding lack of Super Bowls in both the Favre and Rodgers era. I think we could do better, you know? And I'm not saying we're failures, but, like, it's not like Matt LaFleur's got, like, the 10-year contract, in my opinion. Man, like, you got 2 years of Jordan Love, but I do think he should be feeling, you know, he doesn't need to be feeling pressure, but, like, this year is important. I think that's what I'm trying to say. So, yeah, I think he's...
It's a very interesting circumstance, right? Because you said he's got, like, 2 years, but it's a clean slate. Because yeah, it is a clean slate. You're moving on from Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. You have, you know, a quarterback, you know, terrific record, you know, poor playoff record with Rodgers, and everything is so tied. Like, was it LaFleur? Was it Rodgers? Was it someone else on the team? Was it Kevin King? You know, And so no one really knows how good this guy is, truly. So he's got these 2 years with Jordan Love. We'll see what he can do. Another player, Cage, I want to talk about with a clean slate. He's this player that I believe has the arc of a hero. And Packers fans, if you're not familiar with the arc of the hero, I'm going to get into it in a bit. But the player I want to talk about next is Quay Walker, who apparently, yes, Cage, has, quote, been thinking about the two ejections the entire offseason. Quote.
How can you not, man? Packers fans were making it seem like the guy just did something terrible. That's what they made it, you know, like.
I know. And then
we saw the heat. We saw the heat on Quay.
The heat was on Quay. We stood up for Quay. We stand with Quay today. And what happens in the hero arc, KJ, is, you know, you're in the ordinary world, you know, Quay's at Georgia, and act one is a call to adventure, right? You know, he gets drafted into the NFL. He meets his mentor, Devondre Campbell. And then he's in the new world, and act two of the hero arc is the descent, right? You know, yep. Quay Walker, ejections, you know, the media blasting this guy, Ike Packer standing up for him, getting blasted. You know, mm-hmm. It's just going crazy. Then there is act three, the initiation, where, you know, the road back begins for the hero, right? Quay Walker has, I believe, gone on this spot now. He is on this road back, right?
Art of the comeback?
art of the comeback, you know, the road back. This is Quay Walker. And then, you know, the final act is act three, the
redemption,
resurrection, redemption, the return, and the restoring.
This is hysterical to me because it's not like Quay deserves this big crazy arc, you know, because Packers Nation is anointed him as like, oh, if that guy would have just kept his temper, we would have won the Super Bowl. It's like
Deion Greyjoy, you know?
Yeah, I mean it's, yeah, you're, I mean, like Batman, you know, you either, it's crazy, man. Like you either die a hero, live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And it's like, last year, like, Rashawn Gary almost, like, was, like, the hero aspect where he went out in the, when the season was, like, still a chance, you know? Like, you're like, okay, well, maybe if we go on a run, we can make the playoffs. Like, Rashawn Gary, I love you. You did nothing wrong. Nothing's your fault. Quay Walker, like, has an unbelievable game, you know? Like, Packers season slipping away mostly because 12 on the floor can't get on the same page. Bam! Like, all the blame in the world goes to Quay Walker because it's just an interesting thing. Like, really, his fall from grace wasn't even a fall from grace. It was just, like, an intense moment, you know? It was, like, a moment. It's not like he had an awful season, right? It's not like this is Mike Vick where he was an MVP-caliber quarterback, went to prison for years, came back and did the whole thing again. That was sick. Quay Walker is just kind of, like, he's got this attribute on him.
He doesn't have that Quay.
No, yeah, he's got flair. But if you just looked at Twitter,
same arc,
you would make it seem like that. You would probably come to the conclusion that this guy's, like, insane. And you're like, why is this guy so regarded like this? You know, people on Twitter really seem to think he's a hothead.
Okay,
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You know, it's just trying to act like they're better. Like, I would never do that. Oh, I would never do that. Well, heat of the moment. These guys are NFL players. We're also not in the NFL. Well,
I know, man. And it's like, yeah.
And so I think Quay is coming back with a, you know, absolute resurrection, you know, redemption, whatever word you want to use.
And I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say
it. All offseason. That's exactly what I hope he would be saying, Cage.
Well, I'm just going to say it. Like, I literally do not care that Quay Walker happened to bump the trainer. I don't give a you know what, Packers fans or Bears fans or whoever. Guess what? Life goes on. It's not that big a deal. You ever been bumped in your life? I bet you have. You know, like, it's just this whole thing, man. It's a clown show. This whole Quay Walker, like, atrocity. And I'm just going to put it on record. I don't care that he bumped the trainer. I forgive him. I forgive him. You know what I was upset about? I was upset that it happened to hurt the Packers in the game. But guess what? I got over it. You know, I looked at the whole team and its parts, and I was like, this isn't really Quay Walker's collective fault. You know, this whole train wreck that's going on where the Packers missed the playoffs, final week, it wasn't really Quay's fault. You know, and I understand football's an emotional game, and sometimes you got to let it out. But I just want to put that firmly on record. I stand with Quay Walker, and I don't think it was that big a deal. I really don't. That might be offensive. He's definitely not doing it again. Like, this guy didn't, like, hurl the trainer into the side padding or anything. You know, yeah, he just kind of gave him, like, a light tap.
Test.
No, this is not a run of test. If you have a problem with Quay Walker, go look up Malice at the Palace. Or go look up Miles Garrett. You know, like, anyone ever see that? I mean, that must have hurt like a you-know-what. You know, so just to say, I stand with Quay. I'm excited, man. If he goes and has a bad season, I don't have to be defending him, but I stand with Quay.
I think he's going to have a good season. We'll see what happens. Where will he be next to Devondre Campbell? This should be exciting. Packers fans, let us know what you think about Quay. How big of a year is he going to have? Now, Cage, the cornerback position. I mean, Jaire Alexander, one thing this guy just oozes is confidence. He thinks he's the best in the league. He only watches film on himself.
That was swaggy.
Do you believe that Jaire is taking that next step? I feel like I've seen it since that Vikings game last year, as that was, like, almost his, like, now I'm going to be the vocal leader of the team, right? Is this Jaire's Packers?
Yeah, man, I think it's, with cornerback, it's hard to say, because the guy that comes to my mind is, like, Jalen Ramsey, right? Darrell Revis. Those guys aren't really the key cogs in Super Bowl teams. You know, like, Jalen Ramsey, I believe he got a ring with the Rams, but, like, it's not, you know, it was more like the Cooper Kupp, Matt Stafford, Aaron Donald show, right? Like, cornerbacks are super essential. You got to have a guy you can just throw on Justin Jefferson, and Jaire is that guy. But it's kind of an enigma, because at the end of the day, they are like an island, and the team can choose to sail to the other island if they want, you know, like, throw it the other way. Jaire can certainly take away that portion of the field. He can certainly blockade that portion of the field, but it's a little different than having that stud DT, that stud Chris Jones, you know, someone on the line, Michael Parsons, just wrecking guys. Like, and that's what's, absolutely, it's worth talking about, because we know how valuable corners are, especially in this receiver era. But, man, it's like there's a little bit of a disconnect in terms of where they play into the overall aspect of winning, straight up. Like, it's almost like the more you reflect on it, you've got to – if you don't – like, once you get your QB checked off, you got to do everything you can to get, like, that elite defensive lineman. You just got to keep hammering the defense. Like, you can get as many good linebackers. You can get as many good DBs as you want. Like, that's what the Packers have done, you know? And I will say to counter my own take, Charles Woodson, right? But he was like a do-it-all turnover-producing machine, team captain,
leader. Same with Tyrann Mathieu, you know, kind of safety corners, right? Guys who, like, you know, are out there making plays on the ball.
Linebackers, you know, they're out there making, like, Jair is a very specialized corner. He's going to take away the opposing team's best receiver, and we're thankful for that. You know, man, it's I don't think it's like a seismic aspect of our fortunes. You know, I would love to go into battle with Jair Alexander every day, but as I reflect on it, I really think this defensive line is probably worth talking about more. You know, like, we can talk about the shiny defensive line
because I think maybe that what happens, Cade, is people overlook the defensive line, and you were just pointing out, hey, you got to get whatever you can do to get an elite one of these guys.
Because that'll change everything.
Is this it? Is this the year, make or break, like, Kenny Clark not gone, you know, future Packer, not, you know, future Packers, all the marbles on this guy this year? And I guess, what do you expect from Big Kenny before I drop in? What do you think, Cage?
Kenny's going to be playing for his dad. There's no doubt about that. He's going to have a little extra pep in his step, you know? It's kind of like you haven't drank coffee for a week or two, and you have that first cup of coffee. You know what that feels like. But, yeah, man, I mean, I do think if David Bakhtiari wasn't the new cap implosion device, which is kind of like what his contract is looking like, I would say that, no, this isn't like the make or break year for Kenny, but almost at like Kenny's expense, David Bakhtiari's reaping his money. And I will say, push comes to shove, man, David Bakhtiari's probably given more impact than Kenny Clark. But if the Packers could get any defensive lineman, like a stud defensive lineman, it wins football games. You know, these guys like wreck the game plan. They can do whatever. Chris Jones, you know, on the Chiefs. Aaron Donald on the Rams. These guys can single-handedly take over games, and you don't even have to be that good, but it could be someone like the Washington Redskins, right? Like, they beat the Packers last year. Look at their defensive line. They're stacked. Bring in Chase Young. Let's make him our next defensive elite, you know, defensive line stalwart. Maybe it's Devontae Wyatt. I'm going to have to believe it when I see it with him, but what were you going to say, Alex?
I saw highlights of Lucas Van Ness dropping back into coverage, Packers fans, and I was sick to my stomach because Joe Barry has this
should never be happening.
Strange reason where he overcomplicates everything. Like, Preston Smith, rush this guy. He's athletic. He can bat down the pass, but you're dropping him back in cage. Lucas Van Ness looked helpless. He was like no idea what to do out there. Dropping back into coverage. He's not ready for that at the NFL level. I understand it's family night, get some practice reps in, but please do not be running that in the game. Let's just play, like, simple this year. Like, man, the things that worked at the end of the year that we've been preaching on the podcast all year for. Joe Barry, we cannot give this guy an inch to start the year. If he's bad, he might have to be a mid-season, like, outing, you know? Like, that's something that was
crossing my mind. I think he's got four games. Okay, realistically, like, he's going to get the whole year, I'm assuming, right? Like, this year is going to be a year for the Packers where it either goes really well and there's hope, or it's a complete train wreck. And if it's a train wreck, the offense is going to be train wrecking. The defense is probably not going to be much better. Barry's almost certainly going to be gone. LaFleur's going to be on the hot seat. Jordan Love's going to be, you know, talked about more than anyone could ever imagine, even more than he is now. You know, it's really, I don't think, like, if this was Aaron Rodgers, if we were running back with Rodgers, I think Barry's got four games. But now, man, I mean, I would personally wait four games to judge him. I'm not going to try and judge him off the first four games or the first game. However, I think his realistic leash is probably like 8 to 16 games, even, you know, 17 games. But we'll see, man. I don't think anyone's super optimistic on Joe Barry.
But this is like another example of just like, dude, yeah. Like, Man.
Something. What are you doing out there? Yeah.
I mean,
but hey, Packers fans.
It's like there's first baseman in baseball for a reason, right? You don't put those guys at shortstop or center field. You know, like Lucas Van Ness is a pass rusher. He's not a cover guy. I don't know what to tell you. I get the mixing up the looks and everything, but like at some point someone's got to be like, "Yo, coach, let your pass rusher rush the damn passer."
Yeah, and maybe we'll get some sacks. But I want to quick Packers fans hit good Packers, bad Packers before we wrap up the show. This is where we, you know, say something good we saw, something not so good we saw. And I'm going to start, Cage. I saw tight end Luke Musgrave, someone who I was kind of, you know, unsure of with the pick ahead of Darnell, you know, Washington, just like a lot of maybe tight ends that I would have selected. But Luke Musgrave cooked Darnell Savage, has a lot of speed and just size. I'm optimistic on him, and I also saw some good speed out of Jaden Reed. So promising stuff out of the Packers, you know, young pass catchers. That's my good pack. Do you have a good pack?
Yeah, I was going to add to your Luke Musgrave point. Him cooking safeties is like exactly what we want him to do. So Darnell Savage, say what you want about his cover skills, the guy ran like a 4.3. He's pretty fast. So for Luke Musgrave to be doing him dirty like that, just a positive sign. I think Luke Musgrave, the way I observe him, is I don't know how many tackles this guy's going to break. You know, he kind of catches the ball, immediately recognizes the compass on the field to go towards the end zone, and then gets low and then kind of like goes straight at the end zone. He's a very vertical player as far as I've gathered so far. It's not really much like, you know, left or right. And therefore, when he gets tackled, he kind of like goes down. He's not really like a guy who's throwing guys on his back like Darnell Washington, but we have Luke Musgrave, so it's all water under the bridge, and we're gonna have him going forward. You like that he's making an impact play. I would like to see I just want to see like who's it gonna be. You know, is it gonna be Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, or someone else? Yeah, man, good pack. Just to add on top of that, I mean, everything's progressing. Jordan Love's looking pretty good. He's looking swaggy. I think the good pack for me is that he's shown the ability to improvise. Sometimes your first option ain't open. Sometimes Davante Adams ain't always going to be open, and you got to throw to a different receiver. So for Packers fans, as we know, quarterbacks locking on to guys can lead to problems. Sometimes a play breaks down. It happens multiple times each game. You got to be able to think on your feet, be athletic, make a play. Jordan Love showed he can do that. I'm excited to watch him kind of create some magic with his legs this year, man. But yeah, that's
I got bad pack now. Let's do some bad pack. Nothing too bad. You know, everything seems to be running smooth. But I have seen some sloppy snaps, and that's not comforting when you see Jordan Love, you know, not even looking at the, you know, the ball, and it hits him in the chest. Those are going to be fumbles and potentially, you know, hard hits on J-Love diving for the loose ball as a young guy. Have to just do the simple things right this year. Like, no running back fumbles, no fumbles for, you know, trying to do too much. Just cannot turn over the ball too much. The Packers will get killed. I don't think this offense is good enough to do that, Cage. So that's something just to keep your eyes on, you know, hone in the fundamentals. Anything you want to add to that?
Bad pack. That's tough. I mean, just like, you don't really hear much about certain guys, which could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I don't really have much bad pack to add. You know, I'm trying to be optimistic going forward. I do want to see us take the preseason as seriously as we possibly can. And for me, that means game speed. So family night, different story. It's good to see the guys out there. I don't want us to just take these moments for granted and not be ready week one against the Bears. Just to circle it back to the beginning of the show, man, this isn't just a normal week one versus the Jaguars. This isn't just a normal week one versus the Saints and like we've had in the last 2 years. Like, this is against our rival. These are against some obnoxious people that we've all know a few Bears fans. And let's just get...
We've all seen the Illinois license plate.
Jeez, don't even get me started. But yeah, man, Packers.
Packers fans, like, we love you.
Sleeping.
We appreciate you. Yeah, people are sleeping on us.
Everyone's sleeping. So
sometimes that's a good thing. That's
let's just let them sleep.
Thing.
Yeah, I'm not getting too high, too low. I think that's my advice to Packers fans. Don't get too high, too low, and start your Monday off on the right foot. Text a show to a friend. Ask them, what do you think? You know, would you bring back Harry for week one, would you start Musgrave or Tucker Kraft as tight end one? Would you bring in another tight end? You know, how do you feel about Jordan Love playing in the preseason? Should he play? Should he not play? What do you think about LaFleur? Does he have a one-year leash? Does he have a multi-year leash? What about Joe Barry? A lot of great conversation starters. You can text this show to a friend, Packers fans. It's the easiest way to just help everybody win. You and your friends get some awesome banter. Ike Packers keeps growing, and it's going to be a great season. Together, we can all enjoy this great ride. Alex, any final thoughts?
Packers fans, thank you for hanging with us. We appreciate you. Please leave a 5-star review if you like the show. It's the number one way you can help us grow. We'll be with you next week. And as always, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go forever.
This episode of the Ike Packers podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, go.
You are now listening to Ike Music.
Just like when you get high,
can you
just like, can you get by? Get by,
will you get by?
Will you get by for me? Slide on a late night, in this moment I know,
this moment
just like,
moment. I wanna ask you right now.